How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Cyclone Fanatic TV Live. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined, as always, by my good friend, Jeff Woody. Just a reminder, CFTV Live every single week is brought to you by our good friends over at AgriGold. They're offering coverage in 17 different states, man. I mean, they're all over the country. 60-plus elite corn hybrids, 18 select soybean varieties, and then they've got 30-plus trait and treatment varieties. You can look them up online at agrigold.com. You could give them a call, 1-800-262-7333. AgriGold, they know corn. Those are the people that you need to get a hold of if you're trying to get maybe switch with your corn hybrid. Are you trying to switch with your corn hybrid, Jeff Woody?
I'm not. I've got less than 0.25 acre to my name, which doesn't really lend itself well to farming corn. I think in future years, we may be planting a garden, maybe 6 or so corn plants, and I'll look to AgriGold to see if they sell 6 plants. I think they're probably looking for a bigger scale audience, though.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. So Iowa State plays UNI this weekend.
Well, wait, what?
Since yeah, when? Did you know that?
Is that Adam, did you know that?
I'm pumped.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, they're playing. It's football week. It's game week.
It's football week.
It's game week. I'm so excited.
So what's your favorite part of game week?
So my favorite part of game week is the pure, unbridled optimism that always comes with the start of a season. Mm-hmm. And when you get any type of opponent, and usually you're going to play an opponent that you either don't usually play, like a Northern Illinois or something like that, or a team that you're super familiar with that you don't want to see, like a North Dakota State or like a Northern Iowa. And either way, you're looking for the positives from the summer, and no one can come up with the negatives and totally rationalize themselves and say, like, this is going to be horrible, because there's always this, like, even for the most pessimistic people, there's this little, like, twinge of optimism mm-hmm. that, like, you know what, this year's going to be good. So I think for me, there's no, like, the Debbie Downers of the world aren't really that vocal yet, and that everything is so positive, it's so optimistic, everyone's so excited, and there's endless and limitless optimism for the year. That's my favorite part of the first week.
I'd have to say that I probably agree. I think it's just like, it's like the uncertainty of it. It just mm-hmm. makes it, I don't know. It gets my juices flowing.
It is. And it's funny because like people have asked me like, so what do you think of the Cyclones this year? And I'm like, they're going to win 5 games plus or minus 5 games. Because no one has any idea. Mm-hmm. It's a new coaching staff. They've obviously recruited well. Can they coach? I think so.
Yeah.
That we have good players? I think so. Do we have enough depth? I think so. But I can't say anything for sure, because I've only seen us play us, and I've only seen what we look like to each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to judge, and we actually get to see what all of this excitement is here for, finally, on Saturday at 7.
The only thing I heard there, Jeff, being the optimistic fan that I am, is Iowa State's winning 10 games. 5 + 5 = 10, baby. That's what you're saying, right?
Dead serious.
We put you on record as that. Jeff Woody, 10 wins. We're good?
I'm going to like it if it happens. But I want to know what the percentage of total number of teams that wins 5 games. Or 10 games, I mean.
It'd be low. It'd be a low
mathematically,
percentage.
It'd be few.
Yeah.
I feel like if the Campbell staff can coach as well as they can recruit, we'll be there in 5 to 10 years.
I like that. I think I'd actually agree, even. I would agree with you.
A consistent, like, seeing, like, oh, 10-2 is a reasonable projection. Mm-hmm. Within 5 to 10 years, if Coach Campbell can coach the way that they can recruit and then also parlay that into more recruiting, there's going to be so many Hawk fans that troll that last 30 seconds. It's going to be hilarious.
So, I guess kind of moving on to, or when you look at UNI, the first thing I kind of wanted to get your opinion of is, you know, you obviously played against UNI mm-hmm. in your senior season. And
twice. Three times.
So, what is the factor of people saying that UNI players, you know, they've got a chip on their shoulder, they look at Iowa State and they're like, we want to take those guys down because they, you know, they kind of passed on us or something. Is that real, would you say? Or is it just kind of like media fodder?
It's real talking to the guys that played at Northern Iowa, because I have friends that played there and former high school teammates that played for Northern Iowa. And the thing that you get when you play a team that you wanted to play for, mm-hmm. that looked you over, the thing that you get is, I'm going to prove you so wrong by doing everything I can. And everyone, I mean, when you're playing, say Iowa State, we go down and play Texas, and guys from the state of Texas obviously want to play for Texas growing up. Then those kids get overlooked. Then the guys from Texas want to beat the school from Texas, where the guys from Iowa are like, I want to win because I want to win, but it doesn't have any extra motivation for me.
Right.
But guys from Northern Iowa, almost all of them wanted to go to Iowa or Iowa State. So you have a collective group of people that are feeling the same way that the dudes from Texas feel to Texas. So there is a lot of emotion and a lot of motivation in the game. But I think the difference, what good teams like Northern Iowa, and I'll put North Dakota State in the same thing, what teams like that, the problem that you get is, I call it, and I mean this in an affectionate way, Northern Iowa and North Dakota State are kind of like the island of misfit toys, mm-hmm. where there's something wrong with a kid that means he's not going to, you know, Illinois. There's something wrong with a kid that means he's not going to Alabama, whatever it is. There's one deficiency, but what the coaching staffs at these 1AA programs or FCS programs, what they're so good at is they can hide those deficiencies by maximizing the things that they're really good at. Like, for example, David Johnson is – Jake Knott and A.J. Klein said that he was – the two best running backs they played in college were David Johnson and DeMarco Murray. And a guy like David Johnson, when he came in, he was pretty much a non-factor. I was talking to one of the coaches and while they were recruiting and just asking about David Johnson. He played at Clinton. He was a guy that – he was a talented kid, but really didn't get used the right way. He didn't show a lot of like football knowledge. So mm-hmm. What they did is they taught him how to be and taught him how to use his athleticism, and then over time taught him the game. And a guy like that, you hide his deficiencies and maximize his potential, and you do all these things by just doing fundamentals really, really well. So Northern Iowa has that I'm going to prove you wrong attitude, with a bunch of dudes and coaching staffs that know how to utilize players the right way for exactly what they're good at. Like, another good example is Eric Sanders, the quarterback for, mm-hmm. I think it was 2007 to 2011 or something like that. Might have been before then. Well, Eric Sanders couldn't throw the ball accurately beyond 40 yards. So he wasn't ever going to get recruited to a big school. But what he could do is put everything on a button within 15 yards.
Yeah.
And he took him to a national championship game. And his great accuracy was harnessed so well that he built an entire team around it because they're adjusting to these moves. So you have guys that have great technique, an attitude to prove you wrong, and coaching staffs that put them in the right position. So these 1AA schools are a very tough out when you get them. But where you can make your most – where you get your biggest advantage is – I think an analogy that I like to use when I try and describe Iowa high school versus like Texas high schools, mm-hmm. is that Texas high schools are like this, where the number ones are at the point of this little triangle and the number 500 guys down here. And the difference between the really good and the pretty good in Texas is not huge, where you can still get a really high quality guy out of high school in Texas. Whereas in Iowa, it's like this, where I feel like the top guys, like your Alan Lazards, like your Joel Lannings, are, I feel, just as good as every bit as good, your Ross Piersbachers. Those guys are every bit as good as the best around the country, but the drop-off from 1 to like 40 is huge. It's really, really steep.
Right.
So the same thing with 1AA and Division I FBS and FCS is that FBS, your starters and your backups are more like this. Whereas in FCS, your starters and your backups are like this, where the starters may be good enough to even play or start or be all conference at another school, but their depth is a lot thinner. So the difference between their starters and their backups, or their starters and their second or third stringers, or even across the line where your left tackle may be awesome and your right guard may be average, there's a lot less depth. So if you can physically push them early and dig into that depth and force them to put those guys that are down here on that sliding scale and force them to push that out, that's when you get your advantage. So a really super long answer to a short question is they have talent, they have coaching staff that know how to put them in the right spot, they have great fundamentals, and they have an attitude, but there is definitely a way to push them out of the game if you do your stuff right.
And that's so for Iowa State, and that's it's kind of when you get into an area like Iowa State maybe makes some mistakes, you know, some turnovers, something along those lines. That's when it's like when it opens the door for a team mm-hmm. like that to kind of to stay in a game, mm-hmm. I guess, even though they might not have that same level of depth.
To go back to this analogy here is when you're doing well, you're flying on adrenaline.
Right.
And that goes for anybody. And that's for a basketball player. I mean, when you drain 3 18 footers in a row, mm-hmm. you're like, all right, give me the ball again. I want to play. And you're not as fatigued. You all of a sudden you miss 3 of them in a row from 8 feet out and you brick them off the back rim. Then the next time you get the ball, your legs feel heavier, your arms feel heavier, and the coach is going to see that and be forced to substitute you.
Right.
So it's not so much that the guys are playing better, the team is playing better. It's just that they're allowed to keep their better guys in because the confidence that they've got is allowing them to continue to play their better dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you can push them and physically push them out of the game, then a corner or a safety that gets, you know, trucked by a quarterback, you go, okay, I'm coach, let's get a rotation. Number 16, he's a little bit fatigued. And all of a sudden you start dipping into that bench and that's where you get your advantage.
For sure. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about some schemes again. We're going to go to the whiteboard.
We
got magnets now.
We're official. This is the budget for this program has gone from like $0 to like 14. Watch out, world. So one of the things that this is for those that are unfamiliar, the orange is the offense, the green is the defense. So offense is down here, defense is up top. So Northern Iowa, when we talked about them last week, is I sort of mentioned that they major in three down, which actually isn't the case. So they do both. Northern Iowa is good at three down and also good at four down. So against teams that run a lot, AKA Iowa State, you're actually going to see a four down look. And so what a four down look, like we talked about before, what a four down look provides you the capacity for is it frees up these linebackers to make any type of move. Because if I'm going to engage blockers, I've got engagement, 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 and then your linebackers can run free. So this is the thing that a four down front provides. So that's the reason why a team that runs a lot, Northern Iowa likes to play a four down front. So I think Gray's getting them pulled up. You'll see that this is pulled from to the 2014 game against Iowa. Iowa is a team that runs a lot. We know that. So even though this is a one tight end set, no one tight end, no fullback set, this isn't explicitly like a running set for the Hawkeyes because they'll still throw out of this a lot. But they've got four linebackers to try and match up with a number of dudes on the inside to let their linebackers have the capacity to make a tackle. So I think this is the image I was looking to get to, because this is a three down front. So, and then this is the backup there. So a three down front, it doesn't really look all that clear from the side that this is three down. But the reason why this is three down is because this center is head up on the nose tackle. So the head being a head up nose tackle position. Now, if we'll click on this image, Gray. The reason why this makes a difference, this is your nose tackle right here. This is a linebacker. Your nearest defensive end or your nearest down lineman is out here. So you have nothing between guard and guard that keeps them from getting to the center, and you only have half a body on a defensive end. Mm-hmm. So against a passing team, they like to go to that three down because it allows them a lot more freedom, but what you sacrifice is against the run with a three down front.
So would they switch between the two, or are they gonna game plan with one or and then just kind of stick with it?
So they'll definitely switch between two. So this is Illinois State, and Trey Robertson was the quarterback for Illinois State in this game, and he, I believe, led all FCS rushers with I think like 1,200 yards that season as a or all FCS quarterbacks with like 1,200 yards. They were fifth ranked team in the country there. So they switch back and forth depending on the down and distance with three down and four down. Every team in the country does some version of this. So to kind of go back to the diagram here, you'll notice that, again, the guards are uncovered. So if we're talking about occupying, you're occupied here, and these guys are free now to get up on your linebackers. So a three down front isn't great against the run because it allows everyone to explicitly get there, but it's pretty dang good against the pass. So I don't remember, and I watched the playback of this, but I can't remember. I can't recall if I talked about this on air or if it was just to you guys afterwards. But the reason why Northern Iowa and a lot of teams use a three down front against the pass is because there's a lot more freedom to get you what you want to do. So again, this was our diagram. Let's say taking that guy out. This is our diagram. What is
the that? Pocket? The pocket.
Pocket. So if I'm going to run this is pop quiz, Jared. Defenses want the quarterback in the pocket or they want to flush him?
They want him in the pocket.
They want him in the pocket. And then what do they want to do?
Seal the pocket.
Seal the pocket. They want to squeeze the life out of the pocket. So if I'm a defense, I want to get at least four dudes, to form this. What a three down front allows you to do is mix up who goes where and how you get there. Because if it's a four down, and I've got four down linemen, this is pretty easy that I'm going to send defensive tackle, defensive end to form this pocket. With a three down front, and I remove this guy from the equation, which guy goes where? If I'm an offense, what am I looking for? I don't know. That's the thing with a three down, is this guy, you'd think that one of the ends is going to be one of the outside guys.
Yeah.
Or it couldn't be. And we could do that. And then we could blitz the Leo.
So, Jeff, obviously we've hit on this quite a bit. Iowa State's lack of not only depth but experience in the offensive line, only one returning start with Nick Fett. Mm-hmm. Is this something you look at and you have a lot of concern?
Not really, because, again, this is faith in coach with Coach Manning. So when you talk about a pass protection, so I'll move these guys so I can doodle a little bit. So you talk about a pass protection that's really effective against anything, it's that full slide protection. So if my running back is back in the zone, and I'm going to slide here, slide here, slide here, slide here, slide here, running back's there. It doesn't matter where these guys come from, because they're always going to be blocked. So say the D end is going out, guard's going here, end's coming in, Mike's blitzing there. We're still occupied. Say the D end goes out, nose guard's still here, Will linebacker goes there. We're still covered. Say they're going to do a cross blitz, and they're going to bring the nose all the way out here, and they're bringing these guys there. We're still covered. So when you slide protection, if they're doing all kinds of funky stuff, if your offensive line can trust the fact the phrase somebody's leaving, somebody's coming, is always protected here in a zone scheme. So when I say somebody's leaving, somebody's coming, means if I'm the center and I know that I'm blocking this gap here, and say this guy was aligned there, and I know that I'm blocking the gap just over my left shoulder, and this guy somehow leaves to go here, this gap is still... It still needs to be filled by a defensive player. So I don't have to worry about that guy running away because somebody's leaving. Somebody has to come fill that gap in the case of a run. So somebody's filling in there. So a full zone protection, all I have to trust is that somebody's leaving, somebody's coming, I'm blocking right here.
Go ahead.
In this situation, how much of this protection is called by the coaches? How much of it is dictated by the center when you get to the line or the quarterback?
So most of it's going to be called from this is going to be a play call.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of schemes that do it differently. So one thing that the quarterback can do is the quarterback in most spread offenses has the freedom to check basically anything. And I don't know what Joel's capacity is in this offense because obviously I haven't seen it and I haven't seen him gesturing around. But say we were going to run... For instance, they have, we'll call these we'll call this an overhang. So this Leo guy, a lot of times you want to bring four because I have to get 1, 2, 3, 4 guys.
Yeah.
I have to form some type of pocket because if I don't do 1, 2, 3, 4, then I'm going to leave myself a rushing lane right through here.
Yep.
So when I'm going to – if I'm three down, I have to bring some guy. So it's called an overhang, and I like to call him a known rusher. So say this Leo, this guy right here, is jersey number 40. Then we set our protection away from jersey number 40. So say number 40 is here, and all of a sudden we our tight end and our Z are aligned here, and this Leo goes, oh, crap, I'm supposed to be on the other side. Then what the quarterback can have the capacity to do is switch that. So the reason why I say you want to set your protection away is to the man zone. So to the call is man, away from the call is zone. So man here, and then we're going to slide this way, slide this way, slide this way, slide this way. So man zone concept, this would be in – again, the Herman offense, this would be 67. Mm-hmm. So odds to the left, we're calling the man side to the left side. We're calling the zone side to the right side. Now this switches, and this guy comes over here. Our known rusher, the guy that's coming, we're going to call the protection now to the other side, and we're just going to flip it. So now we're man here, and then zone, 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 zone.
And who's responsible for calling that?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
So they're going to get – the protection is going to be called. What type of protection we want is going to come in with the play call. Because there are different routes that merit different protections. Where, say that full slide zone with the running back coming off the outside, is if we're running that away from the Leo, then we have this, and we're man-on-man with a running back on a linebacker, which is fine for a little bit. If we're trying to get a route combination like this, we don't have the time to have this type of protection. Because linemen are better blockers than running backs. So we want to get, if we're doing some type of protection here, we want to get as many linemen on bodies as we can to allow our running back not to have to block and he can just help. So the protection is going to be dictated by whomever, or by the play caller. So we're going to say we're running a quick route. Say we're running just something like this. We're running bubble slant. Running that concept. All that concept is for the quarterback is drop, throw. Then this, you can call basically any protection you want. So we're going to call the safest one, which is going to be a full slide. So the call, the way we're protecting it is called in from the sidelines. But say we've got this look.
Yeah.
And we're throwing some quick route, and I know that there's no chance in hell that I can get protected. Then we can just change this and say, all right, it can't work. I got to throw something else. So yeah. This is where he's going to check out of something.
Do you have another question, Adam?
I actually have a 3-part question. So, Jeff, how many times did you play you and I in your career?
3.
3 times. Now, during those 3 times, where would you typically rank their defensive line in terms of other opponents you played? Out of 12 teams, were they usually kind of talent-wise down at the bottom? I mean, being an FCS program, or were they very comparable to, let's say, Kansas State? Where would you rank their defensive line typically in terms of talent?
Usually they were pretty good because they played with great fundamentals. And when you play a team with great fundamentals, it's hard to move them out of the way.
Size-wise, were they typically a little bit smaller,
size-wise,
but made up with it for fundamentals?
Generally a lot smaller.
Okay.
So there's a guy, I forget his name. It started with a B. He's a defensive tackle. He was this guy. They were primarily a 3 down. He was this guy. He's an All-American at Northern Iowa. And he was, I think, 5'11", about 290. And a guy like that, he's not all that big. He doesn't have super long arms. But what he has is really quick hands to get himself off of someone. So I know this isn't quite chalk talk, but just to demonstrate what a lineman has to do, and when we talk about technique, what they need. So any type of lineman is if Jared's blocking me, he's going to try and get inside position. So as a lineman, what I'm going to try and do is get him off of me and swat anything out of the way. So as any type of lineman, offensively or defensively, what I mean by technique is really quick hands and really good leverage. Because if I'm going to try and move somebody out of the way, I'm not going to try and push down like this. I'm going to try and push up. So I'm going to get low leverage. I'm going to get low leverage, inside hands, and quick hands. So that's the thing that Northern Iowa always has, is they're really good with leverage, they have really fast hands, and they're really good with making some type of move to get hands off of me.
And I understand that, but I also think of it as like a Texas or Oklahoma. They obviously, Oklahoma especially, they're very well coached, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they win a lot of games. Their defensive line is a higher level.
Yep.
But for some reason, you go back and look at our last three games against you and I, we've struggled to run the ball against them, maybe more so than any other team we've played in the last 3 years.
So the reason why is because of hands. So to switch from pass protection to run blocking, let's do this just from a really easy perspective, and we'll go back to a four down front. So we got three, we got, say the strength is the tight end. I'm going to run there, and we'll be there. So this guy is going to be responsible here just for the sake of gaps. This is A, B, and C. So we'll say the play is going this way. It's going to be front side A, front side B, front side Z, backside A, backside B, backside C. So if I'm going to have, for whoever is responsible for these, we're responsible like that. So my linebackers, my Mike and my Will are going to be responsible for backside A and front side B respectively. Now, say we're going to just run our basic inside zone concept. Every team that runs spread, every team probably in the country has this in their playbook. Even Iowa, who's almost always under center, they still have some type of zone read. So what we're going to do is zone means zone, like zone blocking, everybody just goes in the same direction. We don't worry about people, we worry about areas. So I'm going to move to the, I'm going to back these guys off a little bit so I can draw. So everybody moves to the front. If I have somebody off of me as a lineman, I'm going to need to recruit help to get my job done. Because if it's a guy that's straight out here, way out here, this guy's probably not going to make the play because the target is right there. So this guy's probably not going to make the play, so all I need to do is just keep him outside. So I'm not going to recruit help for this guy. But here, if the play's going here, and this guy's already there, and that's 290, 300 pounds of dude, I'm going to have to require help. So this is going to be a double team, push out of the way, and one of these guys is going to peel off for a linebacker. In the same light, this is going to be a double team, and we'll peel off the way for a linebacker. And then this guy, we're going to let unblocked, and we're going to read him. If he crashes hard this way, then I'm gonna fake with the running back, and I'll run my quarterback out around this way. If he slow plays it and plays it up the field like this, then I'm going to give to the running back, and we're going to be right here. So the reason, to answer your question, why have we struggled against Northern Iowa is because they're really good with playing with their hands. So if I'm going to double team, and I need to double team this center and guard off this nose guard to this front side linebacker, what happens is if this guy is great with playing with his hands, then he can play off of this double team right away because he's going to keep them at bay because I'm great with inside position and leverage. I'm going to keep this double team away from me. This guy is going to do the same thing on this double team. I'm going to keep this away from me so we only have one-on-one. All of a sudden, you've got two guys in the hole. At this point, you're trusting that your tackle and your guard are going to be able to stay in front of a dude that's about 50 pounds smaller and way more athletic. So when you get penetration, which is what this is called, when you get any type of penetration, then the running back can't run here. He's got to find some other outlet to go, which is where linebackers are going to close in. So the reason why a lot of people have trouble running against Northern Iowa is because they may be undersized, but they're really good with playing with their hands, which means they get off of blocks really, really quickly and cause a lot of penetration. And anytime you have any type of offense, penetration kills any run game. Reset these.
So this is an issue, obviously, with struggling to run the ball. You think this is something that coaching and Manning and Campbell being offensive line guys.
Right.
Easily correctable, because I just was going back here as you were talking, looking at stats. 2 years ago we played him, and then 4 or 5 years ago we played him. Iowa State didn't have a running back rush for 40 yards in either game. Last year, Tyler Brown, no longer in the program, ran for 65. So Iowa State against an FCS program hasn't had a running back run for 70 yards in the last three times they played against him. You see that change in this game? Do you think Mike Warren can get over 100 yards?
So here's the thing, is football is a very simple game in the light that, generally speaking, numbers beat numbers. Just like in basketball, you got a taller guy, he's on a shorter guy, throw it to the taller guy. More often than not, the taller guy's going to win. So with numbers, how many offensive linemen are there?
Five.
How many defensive players are in the box right now?
Six.
Numbers beats numbers. So if I can't get this six-man box, if they're going to play downhill, I've got five dudes to block six dudes. So one of the things that Iowa State struggled with is throwing them out of this. So say there's two ways to beat this. One is by physically just whooping someone's butt to the point where it doesn't really matter. The other way to do it is if I can get these linebackers, say we're running instead of a tight end, this is going to be another receiver. This is going to be Carson Epps. And we're running bubbles and we're just killing them with bubbles. And they can't play these two over R2 without getting just smoked on bubbles and slants, and we're running scissor routes and we're running all kinds of different stuff, and we're killing them in the pass game. Their answer to that is going to be something like this. Now how many guys are in the box?
Five.
How many linemen do we have?
Five.
We have
advantage. Win your battle.
So this is where game plan, if I'm just way more physical than these guys, which a lot of times, like, this is how Iowa does it, is they say, screw off. We're going to run it, and you're going to try and stop us. And they'll bring in an extra tight end, and they're just going to be more physical than you. That's just, this is their job, is they're going to be more physical and just push you off the ball, because they know their five can definitely handle your five, and then I'm going to block this dude into that one, and then this double team is going to take up that, or just all of us just make a cluster in the middle and let my running backs run off of it.
And they primarily use a fullback as well.
Yep.
Something you won't see at Iowa State.
Right.
So do you game plan? You're Matt Campbell coming up against you and I. You try to run the ball right away. You try to throw the ball. What's your game plan, Jeff Woody? You're the coach.
So if I'm the coach, I'm going to try and get them in. This is a decent box for me. So if I'm going to run this, if I've got six dudes against, say, five guys and a slight overhang. So I'm going to play this rover is going to be sort of kind of in no man's land where he's going to play in between these. This is a look that I'm really comfortable with. So what I'm a huge fan of is if I'm a coaching staff against a box like this, I'm going to do what's called a run pass option, which is instead of just saying we're going to run the ball, damn it, and we're going to run it because we're going to, when we don't have numbers. So if they come out and this guy starts to blitz, there's no one covering over here. So it's just an easy built-in check that Lanning's going to say, all right, I'm going to throw the bubble. And we're going to get this guy the ball as fast as we can, which is going to make this rover stay out here. And then the next time you run this look, he runs out this way. All of a sudden, I've got 6-on-6, and I can block whoever I want. So if I'm in the very first game and I have no concept of what their personnel is, because the only thing we've seen is maybe a spring game tape when they played like 82% of their guys and the other starters sat, then I don't know. I'm going to have to build in a lot of different options based on how they're going to line up, because they may play three down. They may play four down. They may play backer in the box. They may play backer out of the box. They may play tight. They may play deep. They may play two deep. They may play one roll down. We don't know. So all these different options, I have to have a lot of built-in checks to take advantage of whatever they're going to give me.
Is that going to be different than it would be in another game maybe later on in the season then?
Yeah, so in another game, say later in the season, we know they're going to line up like this, for example, and we got a down tight end, which actually I think this guy's most likely going to be an off tight end. So say I've got an off tight end, and I got this linebacker that kind of plays in half space, and I've got a six-man box, and I've got six here. And I'm going to run some type of action, and I know that, say, this defensive end is really, 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 really adamant about stopping the quarterback run. So if we're going to run some type of zone, we're going to run away from him because he's going to stay out for the quarterback, which basically means my quarterback's blocking this guy. So if I know he's aggressive to the quarterback, we can take him out of the game plan right away, and now I've got 6 for 5. So you can game plan based on tendencies. Likewise, if I know this guy's a freaking marshmallow and we can just push him out of the way, then anytime a double team comes, then it doesn't matter what what this double team's doing, because either one of these guys can solo block him and I can be a little quicker to come off on a double team this way. So when you know the personnel and you know the game plan, you know the scheme, later in the year, you can have much more concrete game plans, where when you're coming in off the street and they could run literally anything, then you kind of have to have built in what ifs to whatever they're going to try and show you.
So kind of switching gears a little bit, but when Iowa State's on defense, and if UNI has a quarterback like Aaron Bailey, who's, I mean, a much better runner than he is a thrower, I think he ran it almost 250 times last year. What's going to be the keys other than making sure you keep that guy in the pocket and you keep contained?
Right. So Northern Iowa does like to run a similar offense to Iowa State, where they like to keep the personnel heavy. By what I mean is, by heavy meaning, usually having a tight end. Because a lot of times spread teams will be like that, and this guy's a wide receiver. So Northern Iowa likes to keep more of a heavy formation. So one of the things you're going to see is if you know that he's not a great passer, then I can kind of free up this linebacker to play more in the box. Because if he's not going to have the capacity to beat me with one of these, if he can't do that because he's not a good enough thrower, then we can play more of a, not necessarily a one-on-one man coverage, but in some type of zone, where if they're going to play low and high and this guy runs low or high or whatever happens this way, then we can play two-on-two versus their two-on-two, because we know that this guy doesn't have the accuracy to throw it through a really tiny window. Mm-hmm. So it frees me up to play another linebacker more in the box. But the most important thing about any type of scrambling or running quarterback is this. This is vitally important, because for any type of offense, let's get this pocket actually set up. For any type of offense, you're going to want this. Or for any type of defense, excuse me, you're going to want this. And what I can't do is I can't have an over-aggressive defensive end that's trying to do this. Because what happens? Quarterback's gone. What I can't have is a defensive tackle that doesn't have any type of pass rush and gets pushed because that guy's gone. What I have to have is I have to have four dudes that are assignment sound that are getting and forming a pocket. And then what I want to do with this is I want to squeeze here and not give him any type of exit route and keep him in there to make him throw. The reason why you want to keep him in the pocket is because, one, from a mathematics standpoint, percent of the field covered. So I've got guys dropping into zones here. Say I've got this, and I'm dropping. This is, say we're running two deep, and we're playing underneath coverage. So these guys are playing kind of zones across the board. This guy's in the flat. This guy's hook curl. This guy's in the middle. Okay, this field is 50 yards or 52 and a half yards wide, and however deep they are with the field, and I have guys that can run around and find any spot they want to. So when this quarterback starts to break the pocket, so say we get this action, and I've got three guys that are running, then I've got a quarterback that's out in space that can just, as far as time is concerned, make sure that our guys who have seven dudes covering almost a quarter of a mile of a square or a cubic mile of a quarter cubic mile of space with seven dudes, at some point this football that's that big can find a space between them just out of sheer time. The other thing that you don't want to allow them to do is if this quarterback gets out and the line of scrimmage is here, you want to keep him either committed to or committed behind the line of scrimmage. Because if he can get out and he's running downhill, what this means is I've got to tackle him and treat him as a runner, so I lose these guys out of coverage. All of a sudden, these guys can't play over fast enough, and you have these kind of hunky-dunk plays that, because I have to bail out of coverage, this guy just ends up wide open because I can't guard him and also tackle the quarterback. So the most important job playing against a mobile quarterback is this one right here. Now, if I know that say it's a known passing down, one thing that you can do is also blitz. And then that blitz becomes this. The pocket becomes more stable, and then again, squeeze in as much as you'd like and condense on him and leave him no room to escape, no room to run out behind, no room to squeak out in front, and keep everything tight and be really, really disciplined.
So would you say that those two defensive ends probably have the most important job then?
I don't know. There are no more or less important than the defensive tackles.
Okay.
Because one of the things that's really underrated is if you have, like I was saying, if you have Reggie White at defensive end and you have a third grade anemic child here, and this person gets pushed out of the way, this running lane still exists.
Yeah.
So the defensive ends are the ones that generally get the sack, but they only get the sack because there's a good job by these nose tackles or by these defensive tackles of forming this wall right here that doesn't allow the quarterback to shoot up and run away. So I have these guys that are going to beat around the outside to get this quarterback because he can't move.
So heading into this season for Iowa State on the defensive line, we've seen Gabe Luna and Mitchell Myers, the two starting defensive ends, mm-hmm. at least for the UNI game. How do you feel about their ability to do the job of what you just described?
I'm very pleased with where they're at. And the person that I'm most excited about for a situation, a true passing down, is Justin Thomas. Because from a length perspective, when I was demonstrating on Jared, if I'm going to try and work my hands off of somebody, because offensive line want to get inside hands, defensive line want to get their hands off, so I want to have that leverage. Have you ever seen like those 80s movies where you put your, like, the bully puts their hand on the nerd's head and the nerd like swinging around and can't touch him? Justin Thomas's length provides that for any offensive tackle. So if he can keep him at distance, one, this pocket gets squeezed because that tackle can't drive him away from the quarterback. Two, he can swat his hands off and get there really quickly. So I'm excited from a pass perspective about Justin Thomas. With Gabe and Mitchell, what I'm excited about is those dudes are stout and they're not going to allow movement. So if they're, say we're running that inside zone look again, and we got tight end is here and we're running inside zone this way, and my aiming point is right there. What I'm going to try and do is double team and push there. If this is one of my defensive ends and he's physical and he can push this tackle in, then I have an overhang so he can't bounce, because I'll make a tackle if he does. And he also can't go right straight through the middle because there's just too many bodies in the way. My offensive line are preventing me from getting there. So the only way I would have is a cutback, which you have three dudes responsible for three dudes, and any one of them gets off, you've got to tackle. So the thing that I'm most excited about with Mitchell and Gabe is the fact that they're very stout against, they're strong dudes, they're really low to the ground, and they can play with inside controlling hand position and leverage.
Sounds good. Want to come back, have a seat?
Sure. That board's awesome.
Get this thing wrapped up. We should probably pub that on Saturday we're going to host the Cyclone Fanatic tailgate show.
Heck yeah.
3 hours before kickoff. It'll be you, me, and C-Dub. So we'll be out there on the, what is it? That's like the north side of Jack Trice Stadium. Yeah. So come on out and check that out. And do you want to give your prediction today or do you want to wait for Saturday?
I'll wait because I don't even know who's going to be starting. I don't know who's going to be starting for both teams. I don't know if there's a bunch of lying that the coaches does. Oh, this guy's going to be our starter and then mm-hmm. never sees the field. So I'm going to wait on my prediction.
For sure. One more quick shout out to our good friends at Agrigold. They know corn. Check them out online, agrigold.com, 1-800-262-7333. For Jeff Woody, I'm Jared Stansbury. Shout out to Adam Gray. Have a good week, everybody.